Well, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Happy it's almost 100 degrees. If it was 98 degrees, we would sing a Christmas song, man. Oh, but they're not in sync because they're on the back street with the boys. Whoa, hey. Anywho's, welcome to the Vine. Let three people know today God loves you. 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 If you don't get anything, Billy Graham always started that way, and I've always loved that. He would always say, if you don't get anything out of what I'm going to tell you today, know that God loves you. I don't know. That was awful. God loves you. I don't know. We'll get there in a minute. It'll be good. Calm. Anyway, we're good. He's ready to go. So that being said, know that God loves you. Because we are wrapping up our series on the Mount today. We've been here all the way through 2026. If you're just hanging out with us the first time, we're so thankful you're here. If you've been with us all the way through, we're thankful you're here. We've been walking through this series because the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' most famous sermon. As we've been learning all the way through this, it's the most misapplied, misinterpreted, and least obeyed teachings of Jesus. Because what Jesus is doing is teaching us how to be a kingdom people. And that's going to go against everything we naturally want to do in our comfort and in our flesh. And so two weeks ago, we talked about how others can deceive us. Last week, Alex Hanvey brought the preach and taught us about how to have a key to a solid foundation that's built on the life that is the rock of Jesus Christ, having a life that's built on the rock that is Jesus Christ. And today we're going to be talking about what really is the scariest verse in the Bible, how you and I can fool ourselves with false disciples. False disciples. Because Jesus is going to be diving into that. So if you ever just thought you were really, really good at something until the moment came up and splat. Like maybe it was the test you studied really hard for, totally blank when you get there. And you know how you were blank, like you couldn't even write your name. You misspelled that from the beginning. Like the test was so awful, you couldn't do it, and you were doing Abba, Kababa all the way through as you were dotting in. You didn't know what to do. It was messed up. Maybe it was an instrument to play. Maybe it was a sport. Maybe it was just a simple task that you thought you were going to be great at. It's kind of like making a meal. Like you just knew you could do it because on the 30-minute episode that you watched, it was so easy, right? And then it got there and kitchen disaster. Yep, we're going out to eat tonight. This is one of those things, right? Like all the way through, all of us can do that. And if we aren't careful with our walk with Jesus, again, you and I can be caught in the same thing. We can think that we are a true disciple of Jesus when actually we're a false disciple of Jesus. And that's why today what we're going to be walking through is the scariest verse in the Bible. Jesus is going to be teaching us today the difference between a true disciple of him and a false disciple of him. So if you've got your Bible today, let's go ahead and get to Matthew 7. And we're going to start in verse 21. Thank you. One more time, we get to hear it. Matthew 7. This should be the year of Matthew. That's what we should stick with. We'll figure that out somehow. But we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible, we have one free for the taking over there if you would like one. As always, we talk about doing things digitally on our free Vine Church app. We don't track you anymore. We have AI on there, so it'll hack your bank accounts and all that crazy good stuff. We don't need any help with that. We can code for that. So that being said, though, if you want to go on there, you can take notes, follow along with us, because we might have something like a summer Sabbath coming up that you may be aware of when you get in there. But also, each and every week, Zach Cameron, our Vine production team, will make sure, right? Absolutely. Make sure wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, the scripture's on the screen for you. So if we're ready to hear what Jesus is going to teach us on true and false disciples, give me an amen. Amen in the house of the Lord. Verse 21, the scariest verse in the Bible, and it goes on. These next few verses are the scariest. But here it is. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Lord, Lord, we hear that. One of the spaces, when you hear that, Moses says that in the Old Testament when he's going and they're about to cross the Red Sea. Lord, Lord, when they're doing those things, Lord, Lord, all of us can say, hey, Jesus is Lord. And if you hear somebody say that, automatically they're a Christian, right? Jesus is teaching us they may not be, because not everyone who calls him Lord will get into heaven. And that's a tough thing, but it's a true thing. So Jesus is teaching us first and foremost when it comes to being a true disciple or a false disciple, we've got to make a decision. Will we live our life for him or just give lip service? Will we say he's Lord, Lord, or will we live that he is Lord, Lord. Which one will we choose? Our life being that, or lip service? Those who have lip service, man, their theology is right. They have worked it out. They have the right orthodox. Their orthodoxy, if you will, is good, but they are perfectly dead in their sin. They know all the answers, rehearsed all the lines. They know all the scripture. They've got it all figured out. They've got just the right answer at just the right time, it seems. And yet, when they come face to face with an almighty God on that day, they don't know the answer is Jesus as Lord and Savior and Lord of their life. They can just say it. They don't have him in their heart. See, you and I can work out all of our theology. We can give, we can serve, we can know all the right things and still bust hell wide open. I say it, and I'll say it again. It's very offensive, but I want to be hope-filled, but it is offensive because of the truth. The gospel itself is offensive. There are going to be preachers who are preaching that will bust hell wide open and prostitutes that will be in heaven. Understand that. It's who Jesus is in your life. If Jesus is Lord of your life, you're going to go in because that's the answer to the test. Is he Lord of your life? Not do you say he's Lord, but does he have your heart? Is he the king of your hearts? We don't just know the word of God. We know the word that is Jesus. So let's think about this for a moment. When it came to Jesus in the New Testament, who did he criticize most? Those in authority in Rome? The Roman centurion? Any of those? Or was it the religious elite that knew all the right answers? The elite. Those who knew all the right answers. He says, you are whitewashed tombs. You are the ones who should know that I look like. Do you still not get it? Do you still not get it? When Nicodemus came and said he was supposed to be born again, he's like, do you still not get it? You're a teacher of the people. How in the world can you not know that I'm the Messiah and you're supposed to be pointing people to me? So we aren't here for religion. We're here for relationship. The religious elite stopped with lip service. They stopped at the written word and never let the word become them. Jesus in them with their life. It says those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. So if you live your life following Jesus Christ as a true disciple, you will do the will of his Father, which means you and I are in right relationship with him. We will follow him, which leads to the next thing for you and I. God doesn't have grandchildren. You can't get in on mama's faith. You can't get in on grandma's faith. They can pray for you and pray for you and pray for you and pray for you, and rightly so. But it's your and my faith in Jesus that only gets us in. And so today, that's what the question is for you and I, is are we doing the will of the Father, or are we doing what we think is good? Because those can be at odds with each other. See, the benefit of following Jesus again is heaven, but most importantly is getting to see him face to face. Teaching us he's after our heart, not just our words. So are we living with Christ step by step? Or do we keep fooling ourselves, telling everyone we are? Because that's a big difference. Verse 22 and 23 are scarier to me as well. It keeps going. And he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, there are those words again. Did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. So think of that. Got prayer sashes in the lobby if y'all need some. Miracle healings, I touched it. Hang on. Got miracle healings, right? People drove out demons in his name. They said, we performed miracles. We prayed. We prophesied. We clearly presented the gospel. Did we not point everything to you? Did we not tell people about you? And Jesus said these words. Not that they didn't know him. This is what's scary to me. He didn't know them. When he talks about being the good shepherd, he says, I know my sheep and I know them by name and they know my voice. Do we know him? See, those who are stuck in religion, they're invested, they're serving, they're giving. Look, I mean, it says that they drove out demons. Like if somebody did that, you know, drop, sorry, I'm just sitting up somebody on the forehead, you know, away from me, Satan. Like, you know what I'm saying? Church lady, it's getting there. Could it be Satan? Like, no, you know what I mean? Like, they know it. We probably got kicked off for that. But they performed many miracles. So people said, man, God must be a big deal. But if you remember, Jesus performed many miracles and the people's hearts still didn't turn toward him. They wanted the gift not the giver. They wanted an experience, not discipleship. And what we have to answer for those in our lives and what we have to do when it comes to that day is that's what's going to be showing. Are we trading works for a deep personal relationship or what we have learned today, abiding throughout all 26? Are we going to abide in Jesus, or are we just going to take the byproduct and the works of Jesus? Because the truth of the matter is, don't religion love some checkboxes? We know those checkbox people. These people right here have that checkbox of don'ts. Don't. No, no, no. If you're a true follower of Jesus, you don't listen to rock and roll. You don't do this. You don't do that. You don't say this. You don't do that. And yes, those are things we don't do, but we don't do them because there's a checkbox that says we don't do them. We don't do them because we're in love with Jesus, because he is the better way. Parents, all the way through, as we've been talking about teaching about the goodness of God, teach Jesus's way is the best way and the better way. That's why we don't do it, because this is not the Jesus way. Not because we want to get on Jesus's good side. We already are. A bloodstained cross in an empty tomb shows that we are. So where we are today, are we in religion or relationship? Because to be in relationship means that we are known by him fully, fully by him. The religious are like Adam and Eve, and they're sowing fig leaves together, trying to cover up their fullness. When God knows us fully, when we're in full relationship with him, all our faults, failures, screw-ups, warts, all of them, he knows all of it, and yet he still meets with us daily. Are we abiding in him, seeing him again face to face? Are we stuck in that checklist of do's and don'ts, hoping on that day he sees that our good outweighs our bad? Because being with him face to face is relationship. Doing that checklist is religion. We treat Jesus like that manager trying to give us a promotion, right? He's so much better than that. He's trying to give us life, and life to the full, as John 10:10 reminds us. Let's skip down to verse 28 and 29. And it says this: when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Leads to the next question of true or false disciple: lordship. Who's got lordship of your life? Lordship, the Greek word there is kyrios. That's the word that is written right there when he says, Lord, Lord, all the way through in those verses before us. Lord, Lord is kyrios. Kyrios is someone who has absolute ownership rights, or someone who has authority over you. In other words, every day Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Like, that is something. We follow him no matter what. Day by day, we follow him and do the will of the Father. A true disciple has Jesus as Lord of all of their life. Not just 99.8% of their life. All of their life. The religious elite gave him 98%. And they're going to say, Lord, Lord, and not get to enter into heaven. Those in relationship with him have given him all. They submit fully to his will, because that is truly what happens. There is no half submission to God. Either we're fully in his will or we aren't. But we like to have our toes in both, right? Hot and cold water. But what is it that Jesus said to those who are lukewarm? I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I'm going to spit you out. See, right now, as we come in, I'll be quite honest with you, I have the conversation with others. I know sometimes when it comes to church attendance and folks coming to church, since COVID, it can be a little bit. So I want to invite you, if you're online, to do that. But the truth of the matter is, I think sometimes the lukewarm's been spit out. So now church, the red hot church on fire, we want to go reach the lost. That's what we have to do. We can't worry about the mushy middle, the nasty middle, the skull, if you will, the tobacco, the wacky tobacco that got spit out. We don't want to be that. We want to be the one on fire for the Lord. We want to be his light. See, those who aren't have lordship of their life, they just are interested in Jesus. The Pharisees were interested in Jesus. The Sadducees were interested in Jesus because they cared more about Jesus overthrowing Rome so they could get power, as opposed to him doing what he was called to do by the Father, to reconcile us back to him. If you look in Matthew 19, remember the rich young ruler comes up, and somehow he says, Jesus gives him the Ten Commandments, and somehow he's kept them all. I don't know how he kept all ten. I broke all ten on the way in here. I don't know how. I broke all of them. I don't know how, but I have. I know I did. Because if we broke one, we broke all. Just know that. He said, I've kept them all since birth, and Jesus said, but you've lacked one thing. Sell all you have. Give it to the poor, and come and follow me. In other words, make me Lord of your life and trust me. He walked away sad because he was just interested in Jesus. You and I can't just be interested in Jesus. We have to be in full relationship with him, which makes him Lord of our life, which means we will do the will of the Father. Why in the world would we do that? You just have to be reminded why you and I were made. You and I were made to glorify God and enjoy him forever. If we were made to glorify God and enjoy him forever, then that's how we know that we are truly being a disciple with him. Sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't enjoy God, especially when he's disciplining me. I don't enjoy being disciplined. Some people like being disciplined. I don't. I don't know about you. That's not my thing. I don't like that. Never fun being disciplined. Then I'm reminded that God doesn't like disciplining me, but yet he disciplined his son for me in my place on the cross. And I'm reminded that he is Lord of all. See, when it comes to being a true disciple and lordship of our life, even the good things in our life, if they stand in the way of Jesus being Lord of all of our life, him being our ultimate treasure, he will not tolerate it. John 15 reminds us what the Father does is he prunes those things away. The mushy middle, as I just said a second ago. He gets it away. But the real question between being a true and false disciple is this. Today or that day. But see, that day's going to come for everyone. We know that. There will be a day where we all stand face to face before an almighty God. We read about it all throughout the New Testament. There will be a moment when it talks about Jesus' name being above all names. All of creation will confess one day that Jesus is Lord of all. For those who didn't know him as Lord, see, Lord, Lord, all of creation, will go to hell forever. But those who live on this side in faith, with him being Lord of all, will enter into his Father's kingdom. And you say, well, that's got to be so hard. I don't know how in the world I do that. I remind you of the criminals on the cross. One mocked him. One said, remember me in paradise. And what did Jesus say? Wait a few years. Hey, give me a couple days, brother. I ain't got back from the empty tomb. Or what did he say? Today you will be with me in paradise. Today, today, not that day, today. Today is the day where we can decide to be a true disciple or a false disciple. Today, my prayer is if you are a Christian, your heart is awakened to know that today is the day that we get to live out being a true disciple. We get to share his light with people who are that criminal on one side of Jesus mocking him, who are the religious elite mocking him, saying, well, he saved others. He can't save himself. Maybe Elijah will come down. They know all the answers. They got it all figured out, and yet they miss him right in front of them. Today is the day where we get to share someone who is hopeless, like the woman bleeding for years upon years upon years and touching the cloak of Jesus. We get to be that. We get to point them to that. We get to be like Jairus' daughter was dead. Lazarus was dead. And Jesus says, I'm going to bring them right back to life. You just trust me in my time. We get to do that. No one else can do that. God could choose anyone else to do that. I've said ants before. Wouldn't it be easier for God to use computers to spread the gospel? Because he can program them to perfectly do what he wants them to do. But yet he chooses us. Not perfect, not got it all figured out, just us who love him as our Lord and Savior, surrendered fully as lordship of our life, in true relationship with him, not giving lip service, but living a life that shows him. So when it comes to being a true and false disciple, what will we do on that day? Will we know that, yes, the answer is Jesus, but when the Father sees us, have we trusted him as our Lord and Savior so that the Father sees Jesus in us? Or will we just know his name? Because I'm going to tell you, there are other religions in the world that claim the name of Jesus, and that in our Jesus that they follow. So for today, maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe today you're trying to figure out what will you say on that day. Maybe you're trying to figure it out in your works. You're like, Well, I'm in my roaring 20s, if you will. I'm just sowing my wild oats. I got to get these out. I got to get them all out before I do it. I got to boot, scoot, and boogie, if you will. I got to get things going so that I can get there. And then when I figure it out, I'll give my life to Jesus. When I've had my fun, I'll give my life to Jesus. Because Jesus is a bunch of don'ts. He's not. He's not a bunch of don'ts. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the only way for you to experience the fullness that you were created to have. Will you trust him today? You say, well, what gets us in then? What in the world gets us in? We've talked about it all the way through this. The person and work of Jesus Christ alone. Him lived, crucified, died, risen again for you and I. That's it. His finished work. If it was on our works, our do list, and our don't list, we would screw it up immediately.
Immediately.
I know I would. Y'all may have longer, but like I'm already done. Like I've already checked that. Don't. That's it. I'm done. I just did a boot, scoot, and boogie reference on a past. Like you never heard that. I didn't see Charles Spurgeon writing that in any of his big sermons back in the day. Like it just ain't it. I've already got a don't. I'm done. I'm not going to get in. But instead, it's based on him and his finished work. So we just get to trust him as Lord and Savior. But God loves you. He's calling you to trust him today. Will you? Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 reminds us, it's going to remind us who are in Christ, what we've done to be a true disciple. But if today you want to make that decision to follow Jesus and know him as your Lord and Savior, it reminds us of this. If you declare with your mouth that Christ is Lord and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified. With your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. It's not just lip service. It's life. It's both. It's surrendering lordship of your life to Christ. And all we are doing is we're about to say a prayer in a moment. We're saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't have any way to get to the Father to be who I was created to be. I don't know how to do it. I've tried to work how to do it. I've tried to figure it all out on my own, and I just can't do it anymore. I'm surrendering to you and your finished work. You living the perfect sinless life I can never live. Making the score always be 100 because I'm always zero. Not only living the perfect sinless life that I couldn't live, dying the death that I deserve, paying the wages of my sin on the cross once and for all. Done. Debt paid in full, past, present. The sins I'm going to commit next week if I'm still here. You've already paid for, and you love me enough not to stay dead. You rose again on the third day so that I can be a true disciple of you, living life to the full and full relationship with the Father. That's what we are about to pray. So with every head bow and every eye closed, here at the Vine Church, we pray as a family. No one prays alone. We're about to say this prayer of faith out loud for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. Maybe they're in the house. Maybe they're online. Wherever they are right now, I'm believing the Holy Spirit is moving. So if everyone would just please repeat the words of this prayer of faith after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live. Die the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, for the first time, you can say that you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If you're online, you can raise your hand. If you're watching later on, anytime you're watching this, you can give us a raised hand emoji. You can reach out to us. We would love to follow up with you, because here's the beautiful thing about following Jesus step by step. This isn't the finish line, but the starting block of the rest of your eternity. And the way that you run the race that you were called to race to the best of your ability is by being connected to the local church. And we want to connect you to a local church near you. And for the rest of us, I'm going to ask that we go ahead and stand up. I'm going to say a prayer for us here in a moment. But if you want to go ahead and stand up before we worship, I pray today that we would have something ignited in us. I pray as we're about to go into a Sabbath rest, we are just reminded that the rest we have in Jesus, and that we are reminded that he is not only Lord of all, that he has already worked it all out before we even step into it. So dear Jesus, today, I just pray for each and every one of us. I know we may have a million things going on before, and after this. But Jesus, I just pray right now, we would just be reminded who you are in this moment of worship, that we get to be a true follower of you. And we don't have to figure out following you and figure out what to do and figure out all these boxes to check. We just got to follow you step by step. So I pray today, whatever we carried in here that we shouldn't be carried, we would leave it at your feet. And as we enter into this moment of worship, Jesus, we would not only leave this place better than how we walked in, we would show the world you by the life that you've called us to live. It's in your name that we pray, and for your glory, amen.
Your name. take and seal it for thy courts above.
As we just got to sing and worship the Lord there, it talks about our Ebenezer, as Jesus, as if you remember in the Old Testament, what that's talking about is how each and every one of us are to be in remembrance of him, to remind Israel of the faithfulness of God. And you and I, one day, that is all we will get to leave behind, is how our life was lived for Christ. While we wake up one day, we'll go to sleep here, but we'll wake up in heaven one day. And the life that we leave behind will continue to live on if we lived it in Christ. So my challenge, my prayers for us, we get to have this Sabbath rest. Let's continue to live a life to the full for him, so that one day, if somebody looks back and says, I wonder if they knew the Lord, there's not a doubt in their mind. I hope you have an awesome week. We would love to see you next week when we gather again. And we're going to be summer Sabbathing. But when we gather again the following week, we're going to have breakfast. And the following week, we're going to be kicking off our new series called Community. And we're going to kind of have something awesome. It's going to be a little bit different change here. Just think Sunday school with worship. The best of both worlds. So we're going to be going in the world and the word together. We're going to be having fun. We would love to invite you for that. We've always got a seat saved for you. If you ever are wondering if we're gathering or not, download our free Vine Church app. That way you can keep up with us. We hope you have an awesome and amazing